the Prentice Altum Heating and Air Coach's Corner from Cedar Bucket Restaurant on WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and GoPrimeTimeSports.com.
And we welcome you back to the Cedar Bucket Restaurant, the Prentice Also Piggy and Air Coach's Corner. And stepping in literally to the microphone is Coach Philip Shadowins.
I've been in the parking lot talking.
You know, we could have done that interview. I thought about going over there and just going ahead and tape it, and that way you could have finished your conversation. But Coach ate a lot, and some good conversations out in the parking lot sometimes, Coach, sometimes.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, there was a lot of media hype, you know, and a lot of talk about the Riverdale-Siegel game. But, you know, really, there was a real good game Thursday night. I mean, a really good, hard-hitting ball game. In fact, one of the best I've seen in over the course of this year of really defensive, just everybody going at it. And it was a slugfest.
It was a hard-played game. And for the fans, it was had to be a great game to watch. From the coaches, it's fun to be involved in those. I know our kids enjoyed it, and you know, and you hate that one team has to lose, but you know, I've talked to Tommy quite a bit before the game. Then we've talked, you know, since the game, and to congratulate him on how hard his kids played, and he basically said the same thing to us. I think he thought our kids played really hard, and you know, we've had some classics with them. You know, a few years ago when we drove 90 with 50 seconds left when they were ranked number one and undefeated, you know, it was a classic. We scored at the end to win. And, you know, and then last, you know, obviously Thursday night was a classic game. You know, we've had some great ones, and I think we're very similar in teams as far as, you know, how we play the game and how we try to coach the game. And you know, unfortunately for us, we didn't score there at the end, but it would have been unfortunate for them. If we would have scored, because we probably did fumble it early in the drive. I mean, there, you know, there's some of those calls both ways that went throughout the game. You know, that official makes a call one way or the other, and either it's bad for Oakland or it's bad for Blackman. You know, so just hated we couldn't finish at the end, but what a great game.
Well, I'm going to talk about that game in just a second, but you know, you mentioned something about it's a good rivalry, but you know. In this county, there's rivalries all over the place, and you're involved in a lot of them. I think, you know, Blackman-Smyrna's a rivalry because you were there at one time and had great success there, and then there's Blackman-Riverdale from the early years.
Absolutely.
When they first became a school, a lot of kids from Riverdale went to Blackman, but it's kind of all over the county, and Blackman and Siegel, they mentioned those, you know, you mentioned those two together, so I just think that's great for our county, and the crowd there, and there was a great crowd Thursday night. I mean, for a Thursday night game with TV, that place was packed, and I was really surprised. It was a late crowd. They got there about right at game time, but it was huge.
Yeah, I thought after warm ups, I thought, well, it's going to be a good crowd for him, but
right.
not a great one. And you do think about that, because I know financially what he thinks about, you know, because you got to have the gates to provide for our kids, you know, that we want to. But yeah, then you come out after. When it's time for game time, all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden the crowd is there and it's packed. And I thought it was a really good crowd and pretty loud crowd on both sides. I thought, you know, student bodies were into it and fans were into the game. It was a fun game to watch. It was an exciting game. A lot of big plays, you know, on both sides of the ball and for both teams. And so it was a good crowd for Tommy. I hadn't heard what he had at the gate, but I think he probably, probably had a good night at the gate for Oakland.
Well, you started off a punt return, boom, and Oakland scores, but your defense kind of stepped up and played well. You got a safety to make it 7-2. Then your offense started clicking, and you know, you're in good shape. You know, you're in a good place. You're away from home. You've got a lead. I guess, Coach, I talk about there were some missed opportunities, I think, with your offense. If I don't know if you agree, but I think there were several instances where you had the lead and you had a chance to score some more and just didn't get there.
Yeah, if you look at our stats for the game, we had almost 200 yards rushing, and that's before you deduct sack yardage. But I looked at it at that as a different stat, but – we had almost 200 yards rushing. I think we threw for right at 190 yards. So you take away the sack yardage, you have almost 400 yards of offense, and you score two touchdowns. So you got to look at, you know, you got to look inside to see what's, you know, what's going on, you know, what's causing us not to be able to finish drives. And it's a negative play. Either it is a penalty, it is a blatant missed assignment, It is a, in one case, Antonio runs tight on the chase and drops the ball. We lose seven, so now we have second and 17. And I think that's when we had first and 10, maybe on the 19 or 20-yard line. Now you're second and 17 behind the chains. And we're not dynamic necessarily offensively. Obviously, you have Quindale outside that's a dynamic player. You know, we call him Q, the receiver. But we're not. We're not dynamic in that we're not going to generally break a lot of 60-yard runs or 70-yard runs or that kind of stuff. We kind of have to do things, you know, a good play is 8 or 10 yards. And that is a really good play, but we're not going to – it's hard for us to – right now, offensively, where we're at, it's hard for us to recover from bad plays. And if you go through Thursday night's ball game, we stopped ourselves. I mean, give them credit. They blitzed. We didn't pick it up. We – had the protection, you know, he called the protection the wrong direction or, you know, whatever the case, and they had some sacks on us, and a lot of that was just mistakes. You know, we're supposed to be sliding left, and we slide right. We're supposed to be sliding right, and we slide left. I mean, just some silly things you can't be making in game five, but it results in a negative play, and now you're behind the chains. And you know, consistently we drove the ball up and down the field, but yet we couldn't finish. Give them credit for that. And also, you know, we have to do a better job of not having negative plays, and we got to do a better job in protection, and we got to do a better job taking care of the football. And, you know, there's some things we got to do better, obviously. And all in all, I thought we made some progress. I was pleased with some things we were able to do. From a defensive standpoint, we played good defense, and then we would miss a line and give up a 60-yard run on option when nobody touches, you know, Emmanuel. And that's all you work all week long. You know, you work on that all week long, and now we miss a line. We step the wrong direction with a front change, with the front movement, and now you give up a 60-yard run because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that's the things we got to correct. Really, both sides of the ball have the same issues, is that defensively we're stopping people, but then we'll do something. We'll go the wrong direction. We'll line up wrong, and mostly it's after a miss a line or a step. Or stepping in the wrong direction, or you got one kid going one way and one kid going the other, and it's a lack of being able to focus for 48 minutes right now. And so you do the wrong thing, you give up a big play, you know, and that's what happened to us on Thursday night. We gave up big plays. You give up a punt return with horrendous coverage. I mean, nobody landmarked anything. I mean, you know, I mean, you work on that every day, you know, where your lane is, and we don't have anybody outside the hash. Are you kidding?
Right.
I mean, that's the first week without pads covering that every day, and we cover it every day. I mean, that's one team we work on about every day in practice is our punt team. And not only, I mean, you have nobody outside the hash. I mean, our contain guy was 4 yards inside the hash. Well, that doesn't work. That's basic junior pro football, you know, and you make those kind of mistakes, give up an easy score early, you know, step the wrong way on the option, have nobody to talk up to, you know, to stop Emmanuel. I mean, just silly things that we're doing that gives up big plays. All in all, we're playing good defense. I mean, we're playing physical defense. I like what we're doing, but we have to eliminate the big play, and especially the big play as a result of us doing something wrong. You know, if they just block your tails and they, you know, run over three of you because they got Herschel Walker back there, then, you know, you can yeah. deal with that. You just can't give up plays because of things that you're doing to yourself. And we're doing that to some degree. I mean, and we've got to, if we can eliminate those things, you know, defensively, I really like what we're doing. But we have to eliminate those things to finish a job, and same thing on both sides of the ball.
Well, a lot of people make a big issue. You know, it was late in the game, and you missed two opportunities to score. But really, the game wasn't lost there. I mean, yes, you had an opportunity to win, but the game really wasn't lost there. The game was lost during the other extra, the big plays that were given up probably earlier, right?
Well, sure.
And that first half pass Oakland had at the end to get it down.
Everybody knew he was throwing it.
Yeah.
Everybody in the ballpark, including us and our kids, knew the ball was going to number four deep. I mean, and we didn't really compete for the ball. We have two guys on top of him.
Yeah, it was pretty good coverage. They just didn't get it.
We didn't get, you know, nobody took his body. Nobody went through his hands. I mean, things you address all week long, and knowing them. When four's out there, into the halves, you know, third and longs, you know, they're going to throw the ball to number four. I mean, he's 6'3" and he can put his elbows in the rim. He plays basketball. I mean, he can jump. And so, you know, you work on that all week long, and then we didn't compete. We didn't compete for the ball. That was disappointing. But, you know, that happens. You know, end of the game, obviously, you know, we should score.
It looked like there was a little bit of a mishandle of the snap to Allen.
What really happened was this: is we had the same play called twice in a row. It is coming off a timeout. We knew exactly what we wanted to do. We wanted to run off tackle power. We put our big set in with K.J. Wilkerson at fullback. He weighs 240. Antonio Allen at tailback. He weighs 230. Going behind Austin Singleton at right tackle, who's our best lineman. We're going to run power. If it don't score the first time, we're going to run power again. Well, in hindsight, I probably should have killed it if we didn't score. But I didn't want them to realign. I wanted them to have to be frantically trying to play defense, and that's going to run 230 pounds in there off tackle. Well, our kids heard, I guess, probably some people from the sideline, you know, the fans that stand in there close, you know, because it's the end of the game. Our backs heard, I mean, our line blocked power, you know, the second play. Our backs heard some fans, I guess, over here yelling spike it or kill it, and that wasn't our plan, and all our kids knew that wasn't our plans. But in the chaos of the moment, you know, you forget, you know, and so even we didn't run the play that was supposed to be ran, you know, and the backs kind of stand still, then they went the other direction. I mean, it was just – it wasn't what was called. And to top that, they – Oakland played with 10 players on the field. They didn't have a defensive end on that side of the field. I mean, so, you know, you think it's just not meant to be because you got power called and Oakland don't have a defensive
right.
end. I mean, they had to walk a little strong safety. It weighs 155 pounds up to play the edge. You know, on the and then somehow we don't score on the first play, which is bad on our part. I mean, it should have been a walk-in. And then
– that kind of puts you in the hole there.
I mean, now you're on the one-yard line or one-foot line or whatever it was, and you kids get caught up in the moment and hear some fan yelling, I guess, spike it or something, I don't know, and you don't run the play, the second play that's called, you know, and it just happens. I mean – but that play didn't lose
the game. And their kids. Yeah.
And that play didn't lose the game. No. I mean, no. If I had to do it again, if we don't score on the first one, we'll spike it. I didn't want Oakland to get realigned. If we didn't score on the first, I wanted to run the same play. But, you know, in hindsight, I should have thought, well, everybody's going to be screaming. The kids will be panicked, you know, because everybody in this place is screaming on both sides, you know, their stands, our stands, their fans, our fans. And, you know, I would have killed it if I would have thought about all those things. But
at the same time, Coach, you had the two plays called, and they knew what those plays were.
And we had what we wanted.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking, you know, and they don't have a defensive end in the game, so it's pretty good for us.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, that happens in the game. I mean, it just happens. That's football. That's kids. And sometimes, you know,
kind of like a kid catching the ball and going the wrong way.
Right.
You know, he gets caught up in the moment.
It's just, I mean, that's part of what happens, you know. And, you know, that happens as coaches. You know, we call bad offensive plays, bad defensive plays. You know, I mean, that, you know, the kids make mistakes. I mean, we know that's just part of humans, you know. And it's it was tough to take for our kids. I hated our kids hurt because they hurt on that one now. That's to lose like that, you know, you hurt. But they would have heard it, you know, when Chase made a great scramble that last drive and got the heck knocked out of him right there and fumbled the ball. Well, they called him down. He didn't, you know, he wasn't down. He fumbled the ball. Oakland would have had it right there. You know, at the end of the half, the end of the first half, and there's 1.2 seconds left on the clock, and they kill it. It takes 1.5 to kill it. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. It takes 1.5 seconds to kill the ball. They didn't move the clock.
Right.
You know, and the explanation was, well, it's our estimation that it would take less than 1.2 to kill it. I said, well, you're wrong. It takes 1.5 to kill it. The time you snap it, get it, throw it on the ground, that's 1.5 seconds. And
It's odd too in a game that you see last second attempts to score in the first half and then at the end of the game too. I don't know that I've ever seen that.
It is odd. So there were things that happened on both sides that were good for Oakland and bad for Oakland. There were things that happened on both sides that were good for Blackman and were bad for Blackman. You know, and that's just part of. You know, I've been asked a ton of times about this call and that call. Well, that's just part of them guys are human too. You know, so I don't get – I mean, the bottom line is both teams played hard. Both teams tried to be really physical. Both teams competed for 48 minutes, wanted to win. Both teams were prepared. Somebody won and somebody lost. And, we've been on the good end of a lot of those games. And Thursday night we were on the bad end of one of them. And
And you want to be in a place where you have an opportunity to win, and you were there. You know,
I mean, there.
It's
so. I'm not. I am just really disappointed for our kids, but I know this. That, you know, we're sitting here 3-2, not where we wanted to be. We're going to Chattanooga again for the second week second time in 3 weeks, and against a very solid Bradley Central team. And I know that it was probably good that we had Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to recover. I didn't bring them in yesterday to practice or anything else. I wanted to give them some time off. It's hard to, that's a tough one to get over. But I have no doubt that on Monday, our kids will. Kids are kids. They're resilient. Sometimes they're more resilient than we are as old people, But they'll come back Monday, and they'll be united. We'll continue to work hard. We're going to get better. I have no doubt that we're going to get better, and we'll respond with our best game of the year against Bradley Central. I really think that. I think that's the kind of kids that we have. And when something bad happens, it's how you respond to that. I said something, and I'm not smart enough to think of this, but I've heard it somewhere along my life. I told our kids after the game, there's no disgrace in failing. There's only disgrace if you fail to fight, and that's what I tell them on the field. So we failed based on the scoreboard and based on what our expectations are, because we didn't win, and we expect to win. But there's no disgrace in fighting. There's no disgrace in failing when you fight as hard as we fought.
Well, I got an example of that. I really thought we're sitting there doing the game, and it looked as if you all were basically beaten in that last drive. And Chase Muthman steps up and makes a couple of unbelievable runs. Throws the ball down there, gets you and I would have said you were dead meat probably 2 minutes earlier. I don't know that coaches ever feel that way, but from a fan standpoint, I'm sitting there going, "Oh man, I don't think this is, I think they're gone. I think it's over." And you just march up the field just like that, and that to me is what coaches love to see, that will and determination still to get down the ball field. And that's just strictly from a fan point of view. So
it takes character.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it takes character when it's all on the line for you to find a way to make a play. And Chase made one from some scrambles. He made a couple of good throws right there, and then on the 4th and 28 yards or whatever it was to go, after a couple of sacks, he's got the guts to stand there in the pocket after getting hit a couple times. That drive, he got hit a bunch of times throughout the night, but and still throw the ball up to Quindale, who went up and made a remarkable play. Whether it was an interception and he yanked it away from the kid, I don't know. All I know is that Q had the ball and handed it to the referee on the 2-yard line. So, it's hard to see on video, whether it was an interception and he yanked it. I mean, I don't know all that stuff, but I know Chase threw it up there to him. Quindale went up and made a play and gave us a chance to win the game at the end. And that happened throughout that drive with people stepping up and making some plays,
It's really hard to get upset with kids that play that hard.
That are that distraught, after a loss. And, the other team's celebrating, which is, if we score right there, we got one heck of a celebration. We didn't score, so they had one heck of a celebration. And, as I told Tommy, congratulations, your kids played hard. And I hated that we had to be the ones to lose tonight, but that's part of the deal. And, he said the same, back to me. Obviously, he thought our kids played hard. And that's all you can ask for, people to compete at a high level. And, and there are other things we got to work on. Well, absolutely. Should we have been in a situation where we, had to throw one up to Q to get us down there and being at the line? No, we shouldn't have been in that situation, because we made plenty of mistakes throughout. We should have been in a different place on the scoreboard offensively, because we gave away too many opportunities. But we still found a way at the end to have a chance to win, and we fought. And so I'm proud of that.
Well, Coach, it was a wonderful game to watch, and I have to say that. And I want to talk a little bit about crowds, because I know we started your interview with that, but they had – I mean, you couldn't hardly get into Siegel last night. I don't know if you went to the game if you didn't get there by 6 o'clock, it was a. But isn't that a credit to everybody in this town and in this county that you fill a place on Thursday night, and then you come right back, and there were a lot of people that weren't Siegel, Riverdale, either one, and just generally, this town is so fortunate, and our kids that play football are so fortunate, because. It is a chance for them to play under lights with that kind of crowd and the crowd Thursday night, that they may never get that opportunity again.
If you don't play Division 1A football in college, then you're playing in front of maybe, for the most part, the biggest crowds you may ever play in front of. And I've had a lot of kids that have even gone to some 1AA schools, which is called something else now, but that say, you know, Coach, week in, week out, we played in front of bigger crowds in our league. And that is a credit to our community, and it's a credit to the football coaches in our community that people think, hey, it's going to be entertaining football. Obviously, the kind of athletes that we have in our county, and the way we've promoted it through our paper, through the DNJ, through you guys on the radio, you know, through TV. Now, TV, they call every school in our county want to have a TV game. Now, this year, I told them no, I wasn't going to have a home game on TV again. Because from a crowd standpoint, we didn't feel like we could afford that. But then they called and asked about the Oakland game. They called Tommy first, obviously, and he had said yes, it was okay with me, and I said fine. Every year they call Siegel, they call Riverdale, they call Smyrna, they call Blackman, they call Oakland. I mean, they call us to see if we'll have to do TV games because they know it's going to be entertaining.
Well, I like to put you on the spot. So here's a sportscaster said this. Okay. Said the 7AAA is the SEC of high school football. I thought that was very astute, but is that, do you agree with that? Because I do. I think it is.
I don't think there's any doubt that it's that. And you know, we take pride in that. Our kids take pride in, our community. Our, not just our kids at Blackman, I'm talking about football kids in our county, period. They know what stage they're playing on. They know what the reputation of our league is, and they, that's a sense of pride there about doing that. And then when you get on TV, I know last year we were on against Riverdale in the regular season, and, you know, and Itabas got hurt the first play of the game, and it came down, you know, 28-21 we lost last year.
Ratings dropped.
Ratings did drop when he got hurt probably, but it was still a great game.
It was
on TV.
A great game, it was.
And then here against Oakland, what a great game to watch. Competitive, intense, hard-hitting. Good athletes on the field on both sides, and
they talk about it on the morning talk shows, the morning sports talk shows. That's great for the district as well.
Absolutely. So this is and somebody asked me, a coach from another league said, is y'all's league down a little bit this year? And I don't know. Siegel's pretty daggum good. Riverdale looks pretty daggum good to me. Oakland, everybody says, Oakland lost to Laverne. Well, yeah, Oakland played bad and Laverne played good. But Laverne's getting better.
Yeah, Laverne's capable.
Laverne is capable of competing every week, and Smyrna's always going to be Smyrna.
Yeah.
They lost a bunch of people, and last night they won 7-6. That's the first one. Smyrna's going to be Smyrna. They're going to be competitive. Kids have pride. They know how long Smyrna's been good. So they're going to keep fighting because they don't want to be the group that let it go back down or whatever. So Smyrna's going to still be Smyrna. They're still going to have a chance to win football games throughout the year. And so is our league down? Well, maybe a little from top to bottom. Maybe we are. But can we still win against anybody in the state on any given night? Absolutely.
We'll see it. Coaches have a lot to do with that. You're one of them too, Coach.
I don't know about all that. One comment before you run me off.
I see
you got this name down on a sheet of paper. You got Smotherman and you got Cousins. And first of all, extremely proud of Chase for how he stepped in and played in a lot of pressure and how he ran the ball and got banged up pretty good and still kept on playing. And then, of course, Quindell Cousins.
Phenomenal.
Competitor.
Yeah.
Wow.
Football and basketball, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And wonderful kids. So those two were two that stood out in my mind.
And you can read my notes upside down.
I can't.
That is amazing.
I'm very educated. Very educated.
I'm gonna have to redo that or something.
You wrote some bad things about me on there. I see that line.
Yeah. All right.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
All right, Coach Phillip Shadowins of the Blackman Blaze, and they will be traveling to Bradley Central, going up the mountain again, I guess, and traveling and to play Bradley Central. That'll be, I think, that game will be at 6:30 actually, our time. All right, that's going to be it for this portion. And coming up, it's Greg Wine of the Siegel Stars. He'll be talking to Brian Barrett as we continue with the Prentice Awesome Heating and Air Coach's Corner from the Cedar Bucket Restaurant. Don't forget, Celebration Sunday, this Sunday, ice cream and cake for everybody here at the Cedar Bucket Restaurant.